1-1 from Alzolay. Instead of pickoff throw, not in time. Wow. Not in time. Very close.
They'll break it down back in New York. They'll look frame by frame. They'll do that mosaic where they get multiple looks at the same time.
After review, the call on the field is overturned.
Oh,
he's
boy.
Out and the Cubs win
that?
The ball game.
Some very good luck helped the Cubs go 3-3 this last week. Let's take a look at the highlights and some takeaways, and make sure you're subscribed. Wow, what an end to a roller coaster of a week on the West Coast. Be honest, Setup Nation, let me know in the comments if you thought the Cubs would pull that one out on Sunday. But man, did this week start with a major kick to the nuts or what? After getting ahead 8-0 against the Padres on Monday, the Cubs bullpen blew an 8-2 lead. The most surprising part of all of that was not Jose Cuas getting taken advantage of like a defenseless old woman being mugged. No, it wasn't Albert Alzolay tossing up a T-ball slider to Fernando Tatis Jr. The biggest surprise, honestly, was seeing Luke Little give up his first career earned run via a home run off the bat of a struggling Xander Bogaerts. Once that home run was hit, I just felt like the Padres had that game in the bag, even though the Cubs still led by one at the time. And they did, in fact, go on to lose that game 9-8. That was the first time they had lost a game that they led by 8 runs since a 13-9 loss to the White Sox in 2002. But on Tuesday, Ben Brown took the Fathers by their shiny bald heads and helped the Cubs win 5-1. The rookie was one out shy for the win, but honestly, I was just fine with Council taking him out for two major reasons. One, wins are a meaningless stat these days, and two, Council took him out too late in his previous two outings. Brown was able to exit the game with his head held high, and you could tell he was riding high in his press conference.
Tonight was the final affirmation that I needed. Just, you know, the game at Wrigley was freezing cold, and I don't know if anyone wants to hit in that temperature, so that's a little, you know, thing in your head's telling you that you gotta go out and do it again. But, you know, having a really good lineup to face and going through it, you know, one or two times and making some of the pitches and making adjustments too.
Also, Christopher Morel hit a 431-foot tank for a grand slam to back the 5-1 win. Wednesday, it was pretty much ugly from the get-go. Kyle Hendricks gave up 2 runs in the second inning on 3 balls that may not have combined to go faster than a 1990 Volkswagen Bug on the highway, but it looked like he might settle in from there. Michael Busch hit a 2-run home run to tie the game, but unfortunately, it was tough to watch after that. Hendricks couldn't get an out in the 6th inning and gave up 7 runs in 5 innings to balloon his season ERA to 12.08. But hey, at least the guy has the balls to own up in his post-game press conference.
You guys have heard me say it all the time, is be consistent and give my team a chance to win every time out. And right now, it's just so far from that. So, really frustrating, obviously. Third time through, getting killed. But even before that, just making bad pitches. Just feel it letting my teammates down right now.
Cubs lose 10-2 and lose their second road series of the year. After a long off day on Thursday, it didn't get any better on Friday. Jordan Wicks battled through 4 innings. It was the second game in a row that you could just tell he didn't have his A stuff. Credit to the Mariners for chasing pretty much nothing in this game. Even when the bullpen pitched the remaining 5 scoreless innings, the M's really didn't go outside of the zone very much. Cubs lost 4-2, and the lone bright spot was Michael Busch, who made things interesting in the 9th inning with a solo shot, his second game in a row with a home run. Saturday, Shota Imanaga pitched his first road game of the year, and like Wicks, you could tell he just didn't have his Wheaties that morning. But man, I don't know if it was Shota showing us why they call him the pitching philosopher, or maybe he just faced the right lineup, but the lefty battled to still give the Cubs 5 1/3 innings of no-run baseball, even though JD nearly jinxed it for him.
15 innings into his big league career, he's yet to allow an earned run, and he's yet to walk a man. Jinx.
Oh, JD.
I'm sorry.
How dare you?
I'm just telling the facts, the truth.
Shota also owes Christopher Morel more than just an excited hug. Morel saved him on this play and then snagged a line drive off the bat once Leiter came in. If either of those gets by him, the Mariners take the lead and the Cubs probably lose this game. And guess who? Michael Busch homers for his third consecutive game. Seiya Suzuki and Miguel Amaya add solo shots as well. Cubs win 4-1 to even the series at a game apiece. And buckle up, Sunday was a nail-biter. Let's start with the man of the week, Michael Busch. Now he's doing his thing off of one of the best pitchers in the game. A two-run shot off Luis Castillo made it 3-0, his fourth consecutive home run. The Cubs' record is 5 games in a row with a home run. Morel tied that record last year. So far, I think the Cubs are winning this trade with the Dodgers. What do you think? And we finished the week the way that it started with Javier Assad. Assad, like Monday, was dealing. And like Monday, he gives up a two-run home run to his final batter of the appearance. But unlike Monday, this one really hurts because it makes it a one-run game. Almonte comes in the seventh, hits the first guy, then walks the second guy on 4 pitches. Super. But hey, in comes the light show.
I mean, he's the light show, you know?
It takes Mark Leiter Jr. all of 2 pitches to get 3 outs. You're welcome, Yency. So he's our most reliable arm in the bullpen, and he's got to come out for the 8th inning, right? Nah, where's the fun in that? Let's bring in one of the guys that's struggling the most right now, Hector Neris. 4 batters up, walks 3, strikes out 1. If you're counting at home, that means that it is bases loaded with 1 out.
Good, great, grand, wonderful.
Somehow, though, I'm telling you, baseball has a way of working itself out and being fair. He gets the double play. Also, it's a Sunday, and Jesus is a Cubs fan, so there's that too. 9th inning, Adbert Alzolay comes back out there for another save. The pickoff attempt of Julio Rodriguez looks way too close to overturn, but to this Cubs fan's surprise...
After review, the call of the field is overturned!
Cubs win 3-2, the first time they've won a game on a pickoff since 2003 when Joe Borowski did it against the Yankees.
2 strikes. Gibson is picked off, and that is how it ends.
Also, on a Sunday, just saying. So there's your 3-3 start to the West Coast trip. They have 3 more in Arizona, and the good news is that they are missing Zach Gallen in this series. Gallen made the Cubs look like little leaguers last year at Wrigley, so I don't think any batters are going to be upset about that. Probables in this series, Monday it will be Ben Brown versus Merrill Kelly, Tuesday Kyle Hendricks versus Tommy Henry, and Wednesday's day game it will be Jordan Wicks taking on Brandon Pfaadt. If they win one of these games against the defending NL champs, you feel pretty decent about that, especially with the 3 guys they're sending out there. No offense to any of these 3, but Brown is only making his 2nd MLB start. Hendricks has seen better days, and Wicks is yet to throw 5 innings in a game this year. But there may be a curveball in the mix. Jameson Taillon threw his 2nd rehab start this weekend, and it went well. 68 pitches, 3 2/3 innings, no runs, and Craig Counsell said that he will join the team in Arizona, and his next appearance will be with the big league team. Could he potentially start on Wednesday instead of Wicks? Or maybe he'll just go in long relief. Personally, I wish the Cubs would have let Taillon throw 1 more rehab start, but it seems they are desperate to fix the rotation right now. Let me know what you think in the comments. Do you want to see Taillon on Wednesday, or would you rather see Wicks back out there? Side note, Justin Steele was also expected to throw a bullpen on Saturday, but from what I could see, there are no reports of how that went. Let's hope it went perfect. That would be a huge fix for a lot of problems at the moment for a team that is 18th in ERA. Speaking of which, the bullpen, good God. They got lucky on Sunday, but this group just isn't getting it done right now. They're 19th in the league for bullpen ERA, 27th in total walks, and they're tied for 1st in strikeouts, which I guess is cool, but cool doesn't win ball games. And with Julian Merriweather hitting the IL for likely a couple months, someone has to step up. And I'm sorry, but signing Julio Teheran on Sunday, who was DFA'd by the Mets after 1 game this year, is not that guy. There are some major problems in this pen. Your highest paid bullpen arm, who's coming off his best season of his career, has no idea where the ball is going. In Hector Neris's previous 4 appearances, he has given up 3 runs and has walked 5 batters. He was supposed to be a reliable 8th inning setup man at worst. Now, I don't know if I trust the guy with an 8-run lead.
Aww, too soon.
Sorry, let's move on. Yency Almonte is another problem. He had looked better in his previous 4 outings. 4 innings, 8 strikeouts, no runs, no walks either, but even then, there were a ton of 3-ball counts, and that came back to haunt him on Sunday. All 3 batters went to 3-ball counts, and this is all the while, arguably, your most intimidating bullpen arm hasn't thrown since Monday. I'm talking about Luke Little. Sure, Luke wasn't sharp in his outing against the Padres. He walked two, gave up a home run, only one earned run, but it could have been a lot worse. But dating back to his major league debut, he has 11 2/3 innings pitched and a .77 ERA. The problem here is one of two things. One, he might be dealing with something that hasn't been made public, or two, and maybe more disturbing, is that Craig Counsell, like David Ross, has a case of the Dunwanas. As in, I don't want to pitch him. I mean, really, Setup Nation, give me one good reason Luke Little isn't throwing on a day where he has 5 days of rest and the majority of the remaining bullpen arms all through the day before. One good reason. Tell me in the comments, because I'm starting to feel like the crazy one.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
On the flip side, there are some obvious bright spots in this bullpen right now. Drew Smyly has found a niche as a long reliever in the pen. In 5 appearances, he has thrown 8 2/3 innings, picked up 2 wins, and has a 3.12 ERA, picking up from where he was at last year. And the splits are solid from both sides. .083 batting average to lefties and a .177 batting average to righties. Mark Leiter Jr. has most definitely been the most reliable arm for Counsell. Leiter now has thrown 9 innings this year, has allowed 3 hits, no runs, while striking out 10. Now, he has walked 4 in those 9 innings, but compared to the rest of the pen, he's pretty much Mother Teresa in that category. And I'm not fully back on the Keegan Thompson bandwagon, but there were 3 things about his scoreless outing on Friday that got me very excited. His pitches were crisp in his 2 innings, his command was fantastic, and probably most importantly, he looked like a cop. I'm actually very serious about that last one. The stash reminded me of the sheriff, Andrew Chafin, and since we'll probably never get him back again, I'd like to see there be one sheriff in town. So Counsell has a conundrum with his pitching staff, and he needs to iron it out ASAP. I don't have a crystal ball, but if Jameson Taillon comes back and can maintain a moderate 4 ERA and Justin Steele returns in early May, then you have a ton of flexibility and problems being solved on their own. But until then, to me, the bullpen should line up as follows. Luke Little in the 7th, Mark Leiter in the 8th, Adbert Alzolay in the 9th, and because these starters have struggled to get through 5 innings, slot Smyly in as the 5th and the 6th inning guy.
Do it. Do it.
If you like this video and like the week from the Cubs, then you should love joining me Wednesday for a live stream of the finale with the Diamondbacks. See you on my YouTube channel Wednesday at 2:30 Central Standard Time.